Gord Ash is in studio. How do you feel about that? Roy Halladay, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Well, very exciting. Obviously, mixed emotions given the circumstances of him not being able to enjoy it. But I know it's an exciting day for the family, exciting day for the organization. First player drafted, signed, and developed by the club to enter into the Hall. It's a pretty significant achievement.
Right. And I believe he'll wear a Jays cap, so it'll be the second one, him and Alomar.
I'd be surprised if he didn't. He made a point at the end of his career to come back and retire as a Blue Jay. I think that speaks volumes of how he felt about the organization. So I think that's the cap he would wear.
Yeah, I believe he was quoted as saying if he had a choice, he would wear the Blue Jays cap. You'd hope that they would honor it. But the Hall of Fame, like, Cooperstown's a weird place, man. Sometimes, like, his biggest platform seasons were in Philly, sadly. Right, because he never got to pitch in a playoff game as a Blue Jay.
You're right, but I think that really appeals to more of the casual fan, the fan that watches the playoffs and World Series. You know, the writers that are doing the voting, they're very well aware of what Doc did here in Toronto. He was always very respectful to the media. Not that that diminishes his talent on the field, but you know, he was known as a hard worker. He was known as a guy that was an intense competitor. So you know, when you go into Boston, when you go into New York, as many times as he would with the Blue Jays, those are pretty important markets. So he was well known. But I do think the postseason platform was important to him because, you know, he had done everything he could do here. He wanted to win, and that opportunity presented itself in Philadelphia.
Everybody talks about the work ethic and his approach, and he would be at the ballpark before everybody and stay after. Was that right off the bat, or did he learn from somebody else, or was that just sight unseen? That's the way he was.
Well, you know, one of the fallouts from Roger Clemens being around is Roger was that kind of guy. He left nothing to chance. He prepared in every manner you could, including knowing who was going to be the home plate umpire in his next start, and he would research how that umpire called the strike zone. So I think he had a pretty good influence on Halladay and Carpenter and Pat Hankin. But, you know, Halladay was already a guy that was prone to want to do that, and I think this just encouraged him to do it even more so.
Gord Ash in studio, breaking news. Roy Halladay going into Cooperstown, first time on the ballot, and he's heading into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Do you have any moment of his that sticks out to you as a Blue Jay when he was with the Jays that has kind of always stood with you and always been with you over the years?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I was gone at the end of the 01 season, so I didn't get to see firsthand any of the really good years, 02 to 09. But the one that sticks out in my mind is the start he made against Detroit at the end of the 98 season. He took a no-hitter into the ninth inning, got two outs, and then Bobby Higginson hit a home run to left field to end the shutout and end the no-hitter. But that really sticks out in my mind. And looking back on it, I think it was both an exciting day, but at the same time, maybe expectations got a little out of hand. And he was okay the next year and then really struggled in 2000 and again in spring training of 01. But, you know, the interesting stat that going through it the last couple of days and looking at these numbers, his winning percentage as a Blue Jay was .688. The team was .496.
Right.
So that just tells you the difference that he made when he started ball games.
Well, and that's kind of where
he went the distance too. Like, he was always in the seventh, eighth.
Well, that's the other interesting thing.
Course.
Complete games aren't that big a deal anymore. Not like they used to be, and certainly not with the advent of the bullpen specialist. But he had 67 complete games. Which isn't a great number, big number, but when you think about who was second, 33, CC Sabathia, more than double.
I think seven times he led the league in complete games, four times in total innings pitched. He was the definition of a horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
You know, he loved to pitch late in the game. The other interesting thing is his earned run average in the ninth inning was the best earned run average of any inning he pitched.
Incredible.
That just tells you when he got to the end, he wanted it.
Right, and that goes against analytics.
Right.
And I remember that in terms of my memories of Halladay, watching whoever his manager was at the time. I know Gibbons tried to do it a couple of times, come out and talk to him in the ninth, and he'd be like, get the hell away from me. I'm not coming out. I'm pitching. And the respect the manager had, because he'd say, okay, I'm leaving. You got the ball. Finish it.
And I think the other thing that sticks out in my mind, a lot of other people, surrounding people, get credit for this, but Roy deserved all the credit because he did all the hard work, which was when he went back in 2002 to start the season, back to the minor leagues, And we worked on his delivery, and we worked on his pitch selection. He was a fastball, curveball guy. Tough to throw a curveball for strikes. So he switched up to a sinker and a cutter that really served him well. But he put in the work to get back mentally. He spent a lot of time with sports psychologists trying to get back to that confidence level that he had. And he's the guy that put in the work. And, you know, within 3 months, he's back in the big leagues.
Breaking news this hour, Roy Halladay off the Cooperstown. First time on the ballot, and he got voted in 85.4% of the votes. 425 total voters, and Halladay got just over 85%. So he's in as a first ballot guy. Mariano Rivera, though, making history today. The first time in Cooperstown history, unanimously voted in. I've never understood that. Like, how did Hank Aaron not go in unanimously? How did Joe DiMaggio not go in?
Even a few years ago with Ken Griffey.
Right, Cal Ripken. Two, and yeah. How did those guys not automatically get in?
Because of the way the votes are handled, there are voters that really probably shouldn't deserve a vote because they're not regular observers of the game, and they want to register their protest, so to speak. Like going back to Robbie Alomar not that long ago, he was not a first-time ballot inductee because he had that incident with the umpire, and they were gonna make him pay for that, so to speak. So
they took that incident that seriously that they were going to... I mean, I know it wasn't a pretty thing.
Oh, it was ugly, but yeah. The sanctimony of the voters, it's always been a joke.
Yeah, it is, and that's why, you know, how does somebody get 20% 1 year and close to 70% the next year? I mean, nothing happened. The player didn't play.
Right.
So you wonder how those kind of things happen. So it's a flawed system, no doubt about it. But when you think about 20,000 players, I think, have played Major League Baseball or close to it, and there's just over 200 in the Hall of Fame, that's a pretty elite group.
Well, I haven't seen the numbers yet on Bonds and Clemens, but what my read on the situation was, based on the ballots that have been exposed, they're starting to move up a little bit.
Up.
Are you expecting that they're going to get in? Or?
I do. I think there's becoming a realization that was a difficult time for baseball, and there was a lot more going on than people want to admit to. So I think they were still obviously very, very talented players, and they're starting to get the benefit of the doubt now.
Yeah, I'm all for them going in. I've always been all for them going in. You know, I think the Hall of Fame discussion, it's the reason why it's so fascinating and so omnipresent is because you can have any take. You know, some people are just strictly against steroid users.
People in the States get fired up, man. You hear the back and forth between people on Twitter. They're like, yeah, I can't believe you're going to put that guy
all
in.
The time.
Those players are quite polarizing, though.
Oh, they are.
Yeah,
they are.
And that's another thing. They weren't the most liked guys in the world. Barry Bonds didn't have the greatest reputation.
But it opens up a whole other issue, because if you're going to put Bonds and Clemens, where's Sammy Sosa? He's hit the most home runs in a decade.
Ramirez should be in.
Another. So there's all kinds of issues that come forward. Great for the game, great for conversation, but certainly not going to be any agreement on it anytime soon,
no.
I don't think.
And A-Rod in a couple of years is going to be up. And I mean, A-Rod, I don't know who the poster boy is of the steroid era. I always thought
Barry
it was...
Bonds, man. Come on.
You think it's Bonds?
Of course.
I think A-Rod can make a pretty significant push. He was later than him. But remember, he got caught, and he copped to it. He's like, I'm never doing it again. He got caught again. Like, you know, Bonds has always just said, hey, you never caught me.
Yeah.
He's never admitted to anything, as far as I know.
He hasn't.
A-Rod did and then got caught again.
Yeah, and Clemens never...
Clemens always fought it. Remember, misremember and all that kind of stuff. They went all the way to Congress.
For me, Canseco was the poster boy of the era. He talked,
really?
He talked about it. He wrote a book about it. He was very open about it. So he's probably the poster boy for it.
Would Canseco be a Hall of Famer for you if he wasn't attached to the PDs?
No, because he was really an incomplete player. He was a power hitter. He was a poor defender. So, no, I don't think he was a complete enough player. Although, now, with Baines and Edgar Martinez getting in as incomplete players, that probably opens up another conversation.
You're telling me a ball going off a head and over the wall isn't proper defense? Is that what you're telling me?
On the highlight package again today?
Yes.
That's the single greatest play in history, I think.
Well, him,
off his head
didn't
and
he pitch,
over the
didn't
wall.
Didn't they throw him in pitching?
Yeah,
and
he
hurt himself.
Well.
Yeah, he blew his arm out, I think. Well, Gord, I mean, obviously a really special day for Blue Jays fans. I'm sure they're feeling the same way down in Philly. Roy Halladay going in, first ballot. You knew him very, very well. I think it's well-deserved. And who do you think is maybe next on the docket in terms of an association with the Blue Jays? Is there a guy? Do you think Bautista could make a push in a few years? Or
yeah, I think he'll serve some time on the ballot. I think there's guys on the ballot right now that had connection to the Blue Jays that probably will have a chance eventually. Fred McGriff,
right?
One, Jeff Kent's another one. Roger Clemens here for a couple of years. So those are probably the next wave of guys that I don't think any of them would wear a Blue Jay cap going in the hall, but certainly have some connection with the club. And, you know, when you look at the next wave, Bautista has to be considered. I mean, he was a dominant player for several years. Now, I'm not sure his overall numbers will be strong enough or his reputation with the writers is good enough either, but he'll certainly get strong consideration.
Great seeing you, Gord. Thank you for doing this.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Former GM of the Blue Jays and our TSN 1050 Jays analyst, Gord Ashe. Again, Roy Halladay, breaking news this hour. Halladay off the Cooperstown, his first year on the ballot.